Uh-oh, I just interrupted the intro, didn't I? Oh, shit, that's my bad. I feel like I need to clarify something. The new season of Venture Brothers has started. Hooray! We are all very excited. However, we record these things way in advance. So moving forward, there might be some things that don't really make sense or questions that we now have answers to that we didn't when we recorded this. Or any, you know, just what have you, season 7 hoopla that we're just not going to talk about. And sorry if that annoys you, but that's how time works, kids. All right, moving on. Bye!
So, hi! Welcome to Venture Bros, Venture Brothers Podcast, brought to you by After the Hype. I'm your host, as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Graham, the Fart Master Mason.
I am here.
And Nick Olas, the not in Canada right now, Freedom Man.
That's me.
Yeah, Nick.
Hello.
Nick is in Los Angeles, sitting next to me in my apartment bedroom.
That's true.
I can verify that. I can see the both of them right now.
Yeah.
All right. I'm on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually I am not on any camera. It's just my picture, right? Is that how that works?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it, like, gets bigger as you talk, and so it goes, wah, 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 wah. It's pretty awesome.
It is. Great. I'm going to kind of miss it a little bit. It's weird having somebody in the room to talk to, but, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. I've kind of gotten used to this.
Yeah.
Just recording into a microphone by myself.
Shouting in your living room.
Yeah.
No, this part was funnier!
My wife listened to the door, only hearing one third of a conversation. What's happening in there?
Okay, so today we are bringing up the third to last episode of season one, which is very sad. Season one's ending. But as I mentioned, I was texting with these two guys as we were watching it, and I agree with Graham. I think this is where Venture Brothers really starts hitting its Venture Brothers stride. Today's episode is past tense. This is the funeral for a guy who is dead, not dead. And I'm going to let Graham tell you what happens in it.
Oh, man. Can I?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to.
Yeah. I mean, you can. I'm telling you to.
Oh, okay. So I guess the real question is, will I?
Yeah, you will.
Okay.
God damn it.
All right. So in past tense, Mike Soriyama, who we find out is Rusty's college roommate. Yeah.
No. They're not roommates. They're just buddies.
They're just buddies in college.
Yeah, his roommate was Brock.
Okay. I didn't know how many roommates they had, so I guess just one or two. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're buddies in college.
Yeah.
So he passes away, and then at his funeral, we now begin to learn how, like, intertwined their whole community is. So at the funeral is Rusty, Pete White, Brock, and Baron Von Underbite. And then at the funeral, Mike's casket rockets away and takes them to Suriyama's lair. And then through a series of flashbacks, we learn that Rusty and Mike, yeah, were friends. And then Pete White was the radio DJ at the college. And also Underbite was his roommate. And then Brock was Rusty's roommate. And, I mean, just this incredible intertwining of worlds. And then meanwhile, Hank and Dean get the old Venture team together and to rescue their father and Brock and all that. But that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yeah, I think that covers it. What do you guys think? Fans of this one?
Wait, I'm sorry. He wasn't Rusty's roommate?
Which one, Mike?
Yeah, Mike Soriyama.
No.
Who is his roommate? They go through all of this painstaking effort to describe who everybody's roommate is. I just assumed that he lived with Rusty.
Oh, I guess it's... No, because they talk about Brock being his roommate.
Right. Yeah. I know. That's just occurring to me now.
So yeah. Who the fuck is Mike's roommate?
Yeah, they go through all this effort to be like, everybody
Wait. Was his roommate the Monarch?
No, that's a guy who was in his class.
Yeah.
Or no, so in Rusty's class.
In Rusty's class.
Oh.
But Mike... Anyway. Yeah, Mike was there a lot. But remember, yeah. Brock gets kicked out, remember? Or not because he leaves to go to the army.
Right.
And so
well,
then,
OSI, but yeah.
What?
He ends up at OSI, but whatever.
Well, spoilers. He ends up there, yeah. But he originally, whatever. But, yeah, so I was like, does Mike become Rusty's roommate after
No, because they established that Brock comes in and beats them all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then leaves.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
This is confusing.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I don't think they're roommates, but I think he's just there a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe they set that up later and they just are intentionally leaving that out. The show is smart enough to do that, so.
That's true.
But Mike never really comes back.
No. This is like he's like his one-off thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm.
Oops. Maybe this isn't a good episode.
I'll be honest, actually. I don't like this episode.
Really? Yeah. I really like this episode.
I like it for pretty much a lot of the reasons why I like all the other episodes is there's a lot of world building here, and I think it's really creative on how they do it through a series of flashbacks, and I think it's wonderful that they're all college roommates and buddies and all knew each other and have known each other for like 20, 30 years or something now.
See,
but on its own, by itself, yeah, it's not a very strong episode.
It's weird because, like, I think that what I actually don't like about the episode is that I agree there's a lot of world building, but they shrink the world down into this college experience. You know what I mean? Like, that's what
feels.
It doesn't feel like the world's expanding. It feels like somehow the world's getting smaller, and then it expands again in the next episode. But if for this one episode, it's like, all the convenience stuff, I'm like, that's fine. I know what they're going for by playing off of, like, a sitcom trope of, like, how they always explain how so-and-so knows each other. Like, Full House is a great example. It's like, why do all these people know each other and live together? This doesn't make any sense. They have to explain it. But in this sense, it makes it feel like the world's smaller. Like, if some of them were at the college, I'd be like, okay. Though they do a much better job expanding on that kernel of an idea later.
Yeah.
It's just that in this episode, for whatever reason, it always bugs me.
It doesn't really bother me, just because I think they play it, like, so for comedic value. Like, it's not like it's, like, oh, it's convenient that they're all friends. It's just like, isn't it funny that they were all, like, they play it, like, as a comedic beat instead of, like, a explaining beat, it doesn't bother me. And, like, especially, like, the fact that they play it with a sitcom laugh track throughout the entire episode, like,
I
think
so
that's
much.
What really sells me on it. Like, if they had tried to make it more serious, I think I would agree with you, but since it is a joke, I'm more okay with it.
I think that's
fair. It's not everybody. I mean, it's only, you know, a total, like, four or five or six. I mean, in this episode, I think it's, like, what? Yeah, maybe five or six characters that are in college. Obviously, they reference it in other because of Dr. Impossible, Mr. Impossible, or
Professor,
or whatever.
Yeah, Mr. Impossible's at the
but,
college,
is there
so
professor
is Phantom
Limb. Stuff.
So
but in this one
Billy.
Episode, they're just talking...
Yeah,
they're just talking about those couple. And then there's also the world building, like you're saying, of, like, it gets smaller in reference to the college, but they also bring back the original Venture Brothers crew, or not Venture Brothers, but the original Venture team.
Right.
Which I think adds another part of it and makes it bigger again.
For sure.
And to jump way far ahead, I apologize, but when the original Venture team does the Go Team Venture and you see how it's supposed to actually be done, I still love that moment. Like, it's just...
Oh, it's incredible.
It just brings me so much... Especially, like, the boys is like, so that's how it's supposed to be done.
And you see, like, three or four of them, and then, you know, the emblem shines, and the whole room, like, darkens, and you're like, whoa! So that's what they're trying to emulate this whole time.
Yeah, the boys aren't quite that good.
No.
Nope. They're missing two other people. That's probably what the issue is.
They don't have the gusto of, I just forgot his name, Action Man?
Action Farting Man?
Yes.
They don't really bring that back, do they?
No, they never do.
Yeah, like the him
it
farting the whole time.
It was a one gag, or
I mean, I'm
a one episode gag.
I'm okay with the gag, but
yeah. I think if they continued,
it's okay
it afterwards.
In this episode. But yeah, I agree. It would be a little too much.
Now, I think that there's, like, something really wonderful about all of them together. I really love Colonel Gentleman, like, as a character, and I'm happy that they continuously bring him back and that they continuously, like, expand on his character, because he is easily. He's the one who actually takes control, and I think that that lends itself to his character, which they do in this episode and then they expand upon more later, is that of the former crew, he's the one that's the closest to filling Jonas's shoes.
Yeah, but clearly he's still not Jonas.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not. He's a mess, just like all of them are.
Yeah.
To be fair, just like Jonas was.
Oh, yeah, Jonas was a mess in his own way, though. Like, especially, like, when you get later with the whole Blue Morpho thing. Like, he had his own demons, for sure.
Yes.
But, like, it's not quite like Kiki. Like, he doesn't have...
he doesn't have a weird... I don't even know, live-in, like, helper slash
sex slave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
the rules of Kiki are very strange.
But, like,
I mean, Kano seems to be doing all right, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kano does okay.
But then also we find out what his demons are later, too.
Yeah, like, he also has problems.
Honestly, they're all pretty terrible human beings.
No, the best is, I'm going to forget his name now, but not Aquaman. Like, he's probably...
Oh, yeah, he's totally clean.
Yeah, he's born-again Christian. Like,
yeah.
that might be not considered a fault, but definitely it's definitely not a strength.
Yeah, you know, the people who try to sell you on religion at all times of the day are not really my favorite people. But I do like how he does it to the boys, like if you are interested in expanded life,
I have some good news for you.
God,
oh, it's so good. What else about this one? Like, I know my. The thing is, I kind of agree a little bit with the weaker episode thing, but only because this one kind of does, I don't remember what episode it was earlier that we talked about this, where I feel like I'm robbed of a really good episode because I spend too much time with the wrong storyline.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, like, in the early episodes of Venture Brothers, they kind of had, I mean, all half-hour shows or even hour-long shows do the A and the B story.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes Venture Brothers in the early seasons, the B story is stronger than the A story, but we still spend more time with the A story.
Yep.
And the story of the boys going to get the original Venture Brothers crew, I love. It has my favorite line of the entire thing. I'm going to pull it up really quick. Where Hank tells Dean he's not a wartime consigliere.
Yeah.
It's just like...
That's a great one.
And I love in the next episode, they actually address his ridiculous statements, which I'll bring up next week.
Yes.
But, like, there's just so much in this thing that I really do enjoy, but it's all, well, not all, but mostly that stuff. I like the laugh track flashbacks, yes. But the...
And I like how they set them up, but it's weird because, so, I usually try and watch the episodes, like, two or three times, because they're pretty easy to go through, and I've got some time near the end of the day, so I'll watch them as I'm, like, eating or whatever. And
there's always enough dense stuff in there that you might miss it on the first one.
Exactly. And so I try to, like, do it a few different times because I'm living by myself. What else am I going to be doing? So
basically, when you move here, you're going to be way worse at this podcast.
I'm going to be a mess, I'll be honest. I'll come in and be like, no, I totally watched it. And just, like, my notebook is just blank. Like, I've just got nothing.
Your notebook just says, remember to watch Venture
Brothers. Oh, right. God, I hope Brock did a good episode breakdown on this one. Otherwise, I'm going to be rough. What's really interesting about this episode is that it occurred to me later that the flashbacks are meant to be this kind of Rashomon style, like, Rashomon's a bad example. This, here's what you did to me, and then the flashbacks are supposed to be for each character.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me until, like, the second or third viewing, and that was the first time it ever occurred to me watching this episode that that's what they were supposed to be for.
Okay. I mean, I guess it could have been stronger, but I don't...
They just don't set it up, and it feels like they're trying to... I think, to go with your point, I think they realized that the B story was stronger, so they started just chipping away a little bit at the A story.
That could be,
make it flow a little bit faster, but then once you actually start to think about it and break it down, you're like, some pieces seem to be missing here.
Yeah, that could be. But there's things in the A story that I still find, like, really good. Like, I still love, like, the prison that the four guys are in. I love the solo chain, like, that keeps them, like, it's such a...
That's a great gag. But it also brings up, it's a weird thing. Moments. They keep bringing that up over and over and over again, because when they carry the coffin, it occurred to me, why didn't they stagger Baron and Brock?
Oh, yeah.
Because both of them are in the back for some reason, and the two weaklings are in the front. Like, why wouldn't they just stagger it? But then the same thing for the chains. It's like, why not just stagger it? But then they put the two strongest people apart. And I actually think that goes to Mike's strength. I think he actually knew them pretty well. Their tendencies and everything. It's just that he was an obsessive, and he was obviously kind of a terrible person.
But also kind of relates back to the college days. I think he put them together because they were both roommates.
Exactly.
But here's the thing, and kind of to what Nick was saying, is that, like, you had this whole thing about how Mike hates these four guys because he was so horrible to them in college, but none of the flashbacks really show how horrible they were. Like, the only one who really did anything bad was Brock when he beat the shit out of all of them. And he did that to all of them, not just Mike.
Yeah.
Because everything else, is they made fun
and
of
Rusty
him.
Rusty hired him for that.
Yeah.
Basically.
to go over one thing that's been a weird sticking point for me in this whole podcast is what White did to him was pretty bad.
Oh, what did White do?
White was like, oh, man. His little chubby, like, on the radio station. That's pretty bad.
That was pretty bad.
But other than that, everybody else was like, the oregano thing, it's like, how did they know that he was allergic?
Yeah.
The D&D thing is pretty soft.
I'm
surprised that's the worst thing that Rusty did to him.
Yeah, I mean,
but I think that's all fitting for all of their characters. I mean, the things that they did speak to exactly who each one of them are. Of course, Brock would beat the shit out of them and sleep with the girl that he was interested in. Of course, Rusty would do some stupid, weird, intellectual, I'm going to seduce, like, intellectually, I'm going to seduce your fake girlfriend, right?
The only time Rusty could ever successfully seduce anybody is in a game of D&D when a dice roll matters.
Yes. Right. And Pete White, when he's a radio DJ, of course he's a radio DJ, and of course he says some stupid gossip over the air, like, and way overstates some thing that could be a little bit of a joke but goes way too far. Like, that's each one of them to a T.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, it goes to say, it's like they're very great at world building. They're very great at knowing these characters and being able to write past, future, present, you know, tense stories of each one of them so well. And I think that as far as...
You mean like past tense
this,
stories?
Like the title of this episode?
Whoa!
Oh, man!
Fucking God.
God. So meta.
Oh, boy.
So it just goes to show how great these guys are.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's why, like, this might not be everyone's favorite episode from season one. It might not be the funniest episode from season one, but it's still a very well-written episode. It's just, it's that balancing act that I think it takes them a solid, I don't want to say two seasons, but majority of two seasons to really get that balance of the A and the B story down.
Yeah. And I wonder if it really is a balance issue, or if it's just there's so much building and character building and world building and stuff like that needs to be done that you're like, okay, guys, just stick with us for a season or two and just, like, absorb all this shit as much as it is. And then once you are where we need to be, then we can flow much easier.
Yeah, that's possible. Because, I mean, by halfway through season two, like, this doesn't feel like a thing anymore.
Yeah.
All the additive world building
stuff? I mean, they're still adding stuff in, but it doesn't feel as much as, like, we need to get the stuff in there so that we can start telling the stories we want to tell.
Yeah, because we're starting to see the whole web, and then once you start adding more stuff on it, it doesn't feel as crazy. You're like, wow, this whole stuff is all related and all of this.
It does feel like they're building the scaffolding of everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
More so next week when we finally see some legit guild action.
Yes.
Oh, man. So good.
One thing I want to bring up was we haven't talked about Dr. Orpheus's bit, which I think is one of the strongest bits in this episode. Where he's, like, looking for his cat, and then
they
all, like, start trying to attack him, and he turns into snakes.
And gets shot?
Yes. And he gets shot.
I didn't know you could turn yourself into snakes. I can't.
It's so great. But it's, like, it's exactly what you want out of Dr. Orpheus, especially at this point in the show, where he goes from being, like, super soft and just, like, a stay-at-home dad kind of energy looking for the thing to just, like, over-the-top, like, community theater acting magic and then just, like, back to kind of normal. Like, it's great. And I love his bit with Action Man, though it never comes back. Action Man doesn't die, but when he predicts Action Man's death...
Oh, yeah.
It's just, like, a pretty great fuck you to that character. Oh, great.
I love that. I also love the when they call the Monarch to see if it was him. Like, that's such a great, like, nope, wasn't me. I have something planned for next week, but no, not this time.
I think it's even better because I think he says, I think I have something.
Yeah.
That's, they established in the last episode, that's his whole life. Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
just, how do you not know? Oh, it's great.
Oh, okay. Is there anything else we want to hit on this thing before we move into the end of this?
Not really. I mean, I love the introduction and more deeper introduction of the old Venture team. And I love how you can tell that there's already history there and just how they interact with each other and the, you know, quips back and forth and stuff like that. And those are, you know, my favorite moments of just their little quips.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's nice that we've seen them before, but it's nice to actually, it's better to see them in action. Because you don't see them in action all that often, but when you do, it's great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My favorite's when they open the museum. I think that's their best moment. Like, because that just feels like it's a huge love letter to, like, the original Venture team. Which it is, but that, we'll get there. We got some time till we get there, but we'll get there. But otherwise, like, I know this is a little bit of a shorter episode, at least it is right now, but I just don't think there's as much to dig into this one because they spend so much time with Mike, who never comes back.
Right, and it's also, I think, we've talked a lot about the world building and where these people come from already, and I think, to a certain extent, we kind of, I guess we jumped the gun a little bit on explaining this, but this is kind of like the introduction, I think, to most of these characters' backstories. It's, I think, the first time we get to see Rusty as a younger person, or realistically between Kid Rusty, which we've seen before, and adult Rusty.
Right.
With his sweet do. then we get to see, like...
Kids are wearing it long these days.
and we get to see also, like, a little bit of just, like, the... This weird in-between time with Rusty, with Team Venture, with everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, Jonas seems a little bit more insecure because Rusty's now pulling away from him.
Yeah.
The rest of the Venture team feels probably the same because Jonas is their fearless leader. So it's like a weird time period going back to the college stuff, but it's also stuff that we've hashed out on the podcast already as well.
Yeah. And it's something they don't really spend a lot of time with in the show. Like, they really hit the kid stuff a lot, and they hit adult stuff a lot. They don't really spend a lot of time in that in-between phase, which I think is fine, but...
Yeah. You get little bits of it probably, like, once or twice a season.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. If that.
Is there anything else? We want to move into favorite parts.
Oh, I've I have a question.
Ooh.
And this might be an ignorant question, but I think I'm right in thinking that they never go over this on the show.
We're not going to talk about who Mike's roommate is again.
No, we're not. Yeah, I mean, I know we talked about it a little bit, but I mean, really, do we know who his roommate is? Do we know how Jonas Venture
Sergeant Hatred.
No.
We don't, right? No, that's like an established sort of like mystery in the show, like where the Simpsons live.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like before we started the podcast, I'm like, I don't think we know how... Wait, I should probably look this up before we start to see if there's an answer. There are a few fan theories that are widely accepted that I'm not going to go into because they're still theories, but no, we've never seen how he actually died.
Okay.
Interesting.
We just know when.
No.
No, we do because they talk about it in the show. Brock's like, oh, hey, somebody from Venture Industries called, your dad's dead, and then they end the episode.
Oh, I guess that's true, but they didn't really...
Right, we don't know anything about it other than, like, it happened while Rusty was in college.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. So we have a vague time period.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So let's move into the end of this thing.
Yeah, if we don't know, then you guys aren't going to know either.
Yeah, unless you do and we're wrong, in which case, let us know.
Yeah.
There's a comment section at the bottom of our ATH page. Go for it there. And by paid, I mean page. You're not going to get paid for comments.
I was going to say. At the ATH page. Oh, shit.
Unless you know.
Okay.
Unless you know how he died, then, you know, and you're the only one, then maybe you might get paid.
So, Jackson Public, if you feel like telling us.
Yes.
Or Doc Hammer, either one, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, or you know, ghostwriter
or an
somebody.
Intern trying to make their name for themselves,
or just make an extra buck. Yeah.
We're gonna give you a nickel a comment, so space that shit out.
Yeah.
Oh god, please don't actually do that.
No. Please, I don't want this show ruined by like some intern that's just doing a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Oh god. Okay, so favorite moments. For me, it's a very simple one, but it's got to be the solo chains, like the when Brock stands up to attack Baron Underbite, and you just have Rusty. It gets me every time. I love it.
That is pretty hilarious. That's definitely one of mine.
Yes.
Well,
I love.
You want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go. I love the intro with them on the plane because it has two great quotes. One is Brock. Rusty's worried about his tie, and Brock just. Says under his breath, he's like, yeah, you can't really miss with a clip on, like, which is great. Then Rusty causes a plane to almost crash. They basically literally crash into their funeral. And then he's like, Rusty leans out the window. He's like, Soriyama funeral. And the priest points over there and he's like, Rusty gets back into the thing. And he's like, don't worry, we didn't miss it. No harm done. And it's just like, oh, everything about it is just prime Rusty. Prime.
God, Rusty sucks.
He's a terrible person.
All right, Graham, what about you?
I had so many with this episode. I'll also go with another one on the X-1. But this is when the old Venture team is in there. And Kano is piloting. And then Colonel Gentleman pops in. It's like, actually, despite his racial handicap, he's a crackerjack pilot. He could land the X-1 on a puffin. Or a smurf.
I love Colonel Gentleman so much.
Oh, you gotta love the old person casual racism. Good lord.
But again, it fits his character so well.
Oh, it really
Kano's
does.
Kano's just there.
Yeah.
It's like, yep.
Sure. He also, I love his intro to Kano as well, where he's like describing his hands are like delicate enough to do something, but he describes them as, hold on a second, I wrote it down. He's like delicate enough to like fold origami or whatever. Yep. And he's like, and also delicate enough to crush a butterfly, which is so perplexing. I had to rewind it because they caught it up like the last viewing. I was like, did he say delicate enough to crush a butterfly? Great.
I mean, I guess that'd be delicate. Maybe. I mean, delicate hands could do it as well.
Yeah.
So could a brick. okay, so that brings today's episode to a close. Next week we have, I think, the opening of next week's episode is the strongest in all of Venture Brothers.
God.
Yes. And I know we've said similar things before, but this time I mean it.
This time I mean it should just be like Brian's corner of the podcast.
Yeah.
This
time I mean it. No, but this time I mean it. So next week's episode is The Trial of the Monarch, a real standout episode. We'll do a quick round of plugs. You can check us out. We are starting up recording less than a week after the hype is back, and we are doing A Wrinkle in Time, and then we're doing a battle of puppet movies for the new Melissa McCarthy puppet movie. We have some really good puppet movies coming up. We have Team America. We have Chucky, or Child's Play, sorry.
Being John Malkovich.
Nope, not Being John Malkovich.
What? Come on.
Now, the other two are Muppets Take Manhattan, and then what... I'm the judge of this one, so if you're listening to this, which I'm hoping you're not other people in the episode, your cards are stacked against you. You have Emmett Otter's Christmas Jug Band, which is a fucking classic, and I am so excited to hear our special guest talk about that episode. So that's the end of our plug for that one. Nick?
I worked on a game called Assassin's Creed Odyssey, so if you're into that, go get it.
You don't work in their marketing, do you?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I think I recorded one marketing video, and then they were like, don't ever ask him to do it again. Don't do it.
I think we're good for you on all of that.
Thanks for showing up.
Yeah.
Graham, what are you plugging these days?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Cool. So,
there's that. Hopefully. I'm on a couple episodes of After the Hype, so listen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the two that I just played,
not the two that are coming up, but the backlogs.
Yep.
Go deep in the backlogs.
Not that deep.
I mean, a little deep.
Deeper than he would like. Anyhow, bye!